The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller, with you on this Friday, 8th day of December 2017. And I've got a little extra treat today. I've got Al Whitney coming on here in a few minutes. Ralph Winterode, that sat in for an hour for me yesterday with the stuff on the license, driver's license. And Al is having some problems like everybody else has had. And that is, let me see, a right that's converted to a privilege and then contract with all of its pratfalls and pitfalls. And you got to follow our, otherwise you're busted. And the red and blue light boys will light you up and give you a hard time. First off, I want to thank you very much. I did not see this one coming. Thank you, Laura D. She PayPal'd us $1,000 yesterday. And today I discover Ralph was filling in for my first hour yesterday. Bennett took the second hour. And I missed the guy that came in from Tucson bearing gifts. $1,200 cash, two gift packages of Gentleman Jack, three. You got one too. Holy mackerel, you shouldn't have told me that. There's your Christmas bonus, dude. At any rate. And a couple of these No Flame new style lighters. And I'm very appreciative of that. And he did not want to leave his telephone number, and that's unfortunate because, Cal, when you were down here in Austin, I lost your number. So, Cal, if you're listening today, please call the network and give the people, under penalty of revealing your phone number, the penalty of death, leave your phone number so I can get a hold of you. Now, having said all that, if that, and Cal, little do you know, if it wasn't for your donation yesterday, the people at the network wouldn't have gotten paid. So you're a sweetheart. I don't know if it's worth a, was that a fifth that he gave you? What's a liter of Gentleman Jack? You get a liter of Gentleman Jack? What the hell do you do around here? Everything. Al Whitney, are you with me?
Sure am.
Ralph Winterode, you're on the road up there in winter hinterland. Well, no, we had some snow down here in Austin. How are you coming in, Ralph?
Oh, we're doing great today. We've been warming up the last few days, and it's melting off. I don't know. I didn't think I'd see the ground, but I'm seeing all the grass again, or brown stuff.
Well, I don't know. The world is going weird this morning, and I shouldn't say this. I'm at the drive-thru at McDonald's for my dollar large coffee, and I saw something strange. I looked up on a telephone wire, and I saw three birds. Two of them were clumped together, and the other one was about a couple of feet away. And I noticed that birds don't usually do that. And I kept looking at these things, and I noticed that they didn't have any beaks that were protruding. The closer I got to them, now mind you, there's snow on the ground. It's 35, 34 degrees down here in central Texas. and I'm looking at these doggone birds. They're parrots. Now, we're living in a world now that men can't be men and women want to be men, and boys and girls can't figure out if they got innies or outies. They can't figure out what sex they are. We got dogs sleeping with cats and parrots, evidently, with their overcoats on in central Texas in the middle of winter. Those weren't parakeets, my friend. They were big.
Wow.
My board op here. My board op is telling me they were parakeets.
They're not native to Texas, are they, any of them?
No, and they didn't even bring their heating blankets with them. And I'd like to know how these damn things are surviving. These are tropical birds. How does a tropical bird survive in a winter storm? I don't get it.
I don't know.
And you say that you're warming up in Alaska. What does that mean?
Well, we've had a lot of warm spells there. We don't normally get this warm like this. Once we get snow on the ground, it stays till about March or April. We've been up in 35 or 40, and I'm looking right now, and there isn't any snow on the ground around this area where I'm driving down, where I live. It's about 20 miles on down. We still got snow because it's colder down there where I live.
Okay, so is 35, 40 degrees a heat wave?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's 39 right now. Yeah, and normally we run around 10 to 20, and then we get down to 15, 20, 30 below a couple of days in January or December.
Well, I don't know. Maybe global warming is real.
I don't think so. I already know so.
Well, you got a guy up there in Alaska, Begich, right? Nick Begich?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't know, years ago I had him on the air, I didn't know he was a closet socialist.
He's a lot of things.
Okay.
He doesn't even have his doctor's degree either. That's another can of worms.
Oh, you mean he's not really a piled high and deep?
Nope. And he's to another baggage senator, and he's right up there with Hillary, man, a professional liar.
Wow. You know, I don't know what goes on with people that they, what can they justify? What can they say is true and not true? And how can they back an agenda and they just know that they're wrong? I don't, is that the legacy that people want to be remembered by? I'm a liar or I'm a fake or I'm just an agenda pusher we only have a short stint. Dancing on this little mortal coil, this little grain of sand in a universe without end. And we only have one go-around with this deal. And people sidle up to the liars and the thieves and the disinformers and the deceptors and give it a name. I don't get it. I don't understand.
I don't either, and I've lost what I would call, I had a 20-year-old friend, and he was a Hillary. I didn't even realize he was a Hillary supporter, and we got into a couple discussions, and he's supporting Hillary. I said, she's a certified liar. I said, have you not read John 8, 34 to 44, the father of all liars is the devil, and what do I learn from listening to a liar? There's absolutely nothing. I'm not going to associate with him, so we're not friends anymore. We could talk him.
Oh, all over politics.
Well, what are you
going to do? Well, hey, look, Ralph, if the guy's in the closet and he didn't know he was a Hillary supporter, I wouldn't have uncovered that little factoid because... him going back into the closet, he might have put a knife in your back on the way in. I don't know.
Well, him and I have been to the Supreme Court on the IRS, and I think somebody turned him about 2 years ago, him and his wife. And
really?
I was on his trust, and I got off of his trust because I get, whenever I get this feeling, they quit calling me, but I usually get, about every 2 weeks, I have somebody wants to meet with me, and they're trying to set me up. I've had him fly up here and meet with me, and I've got my antennas up, because what I do, I'm not making friends, I'll tell you what.
All right. I want to thank you, Ralph, for being on my show, taking my first hour yesterday. And Al Whitney gives me a call today and wanted your phone number. I said, well, why don't you just come on the program, and we'll have Ralph on the program. And she's got a little instance here of, in the state of Ohio, about driver's licenses. If you want to kick this off, Al, I'm sure that Ralph will find it quite fascinating.
Okay. Well, I lost my driver's license, so I went in yesterday to get a duplicate. It's not expired. I've only had the license for a year, but I lost it, and they are obligated to give you a duplicate. However, they had me fill out a form, which I found strange, and give all my information again, my height, my weight, my hair color, the whole nine yards, even though I had the old license right there with me, and I showed her, you know. So I filled out the form, Social Security number, the whole can of worms, and then I signed it without prejudice. Now, now,
go ahead. I'm sorry. I already know what happened. Go ahead.
Okay. So I had signed it a year ago without prejudice, and there was no problem. Everything went fine. Okay, so I signed, but I didn't expect to have a new form for just getting a duplicate copy, but that's what they did. And the assistant manager came up to the window and said, "You're not getting a license today." And I said, "Why is that?" He said, "Because you signed without prejudice." And I said, "Yeah, it's UCC 1-308. This, all our courts are UCC. You're UCC. And it is allowed. It is absolutely allowed." He said, "But when you sign that, that means that everything you put on here is false." And I said, "Where in the name of God did you get that? That's not true." He said, "Well, here's a phone number you can call and complain." And that was it. I was done.
Well, okay, but when you made that phone call, who were you then talking to?
Yes, then I made the phone call, and they answered the phone, Ohio Bureau of Motor Vehicles Suspension Contact Center. So he had suspended my license, and I was now officially suspended. So I got on the phone, and I talked to one of the people who answered the phone, and I knew quickly I'd be directed up to a supervisor, which I was. And I explained to the supervisor that this assistant manager had taken the liberty to suspend my license for actually implementing UCC, which I am allowed to do, which is in the Ohio Revised Code. And the supervisor said to me, "I don't know what you're talking about." And I said, "I signed it without prejudice." He says, "Well, what does that mean?" Now, this is the supervisor. What does that mean? He knows nothing about it. So apparently, this guy, I don't know what gave him the idea that he could do this, but he made a decision to suspend my license. So I asked them, "What gives you guys your authority? I know you're a private corporation, and you're contracting with, you're not state employees, you're contracting with the state." "Well, we are kind of government employees because we implement the statutory code, Ohio Revised Code." I said, "Oh, great. Okay, so give me the code number that you use when you determine how to fill out these applications. And I can read it, you know, if you guys say that it's there, I'll be happy to read it and look for it." So he gives me the code number, and I promptly look it up. Nowhere do they have the authority to suspend a license for signing without prejudice. It isn't there. There is no code that grants them that authority. I even looked through all of the conditions which they could suspend license. That's not listed. That's not there. Then I found, in the Ohio Revised Code, again, their Bible, there is number 1301.308, performance or acceptance under reservations of rights UCC 1-308, which says, "A party that with explicit reservations of rights performs or promises performance or assents to performance in a manner demanded or offered by the other party does not thereby prejudice the rights reserved. Such words as, quote, without prejudice, unquote, or, quote, under protest, unquote, or the like are sufficient. Now, that's in their statutory code. They don't really have a choice. And I was telling John, this is the kind of battle we cannot lose. We've given so few, we've been given so few ways to not contract or not submit to adhesion contracts. In the UCC, they had to put this in there because all of this is supposedly volunteering. And they had to give us a remedy. And that's the one they gave us. Too few people know about it. Very few people use it. But, hey, it's there. So the final outcome was, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what this is all about, says the supervisor. And I will get this information to a deputy registrar, and someone will contact you in the next 2 days. I hope the listeners are paying attention to what they're doing with our driver's license. Ralph, I'm sure you already know this. I tried to cash a check without one. They won't do it. Okay? Whenever you go to the doctor's office...
You are in the middle of the tree. You have to get to the root of what's going on there. You're in the middle of the tree.
No, I think I know what's going on there.
Okay, well, let him... okay, Al, you got to let him talk.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. First of all, the automobile that you think you own is not yours.
I know that.
It is given...
I know
do
that.
You know how it's given away? Do you know
yes.
how they do it? I do.
I do, too.
Okay, well maybe Al. Some of the listeners don't know, so somebody explain it. Ralph?
You want to go ahead?
No, Ralph,
okay,
go.
Okay, I can tell you how it's done, because I went over to Chevrolet, and I got all of the documents that they have. I had to really push to get it. There is one document called an attorney in fact, which is the same as I implied, in fact, the same as the express contract. Every new car has to be signed away. All right, title, and interest is given away. And it'll be done with the notaries on it. So the brand new car that you have is given away. It's actually like an express contract, but they call it this an implied, in fact. They have to label them attorney, in fact. Just go to the dealer and ask for it. Now, what they do is, that empowers them to take the manufacturer statement of origin that most people have never even seen, don't even know what it looks like. It's a little piece of paper, I don't know, about 5 or 6 inches around. On both sides, it talks about the property, the lien. They hand carry that paper to DMV in Alaska. They take it 10 miles over and give it to them, because I have signed away all right, title, and interest. So then they actually own it. So then they issue a certificate of title. And ours up here says, well, there may be other security interests not shown. They issue a driver's license to us, which is a permission to drive their vehicles.
Right.
And to get that driver's license, you have to sign up to be a citizen of the United States, which I've gotten around. I signed up as a citizen of Alaska. They also want a Social Security number. And the only reason why you have Social Security number, if you look that up, is if you want a state or a federal benefit. And when you sign that driver's license as a citizen of the United States, one statute down deep, that document that you find goes one statute, goes right into the National Registry in Washington, D.C., voter registration, that you're a citizen of the United States.
Okay.
Now, a citizen of the United States. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I agree with most of what you're saying, most of it. However, we have discovered that we have the right to define our own political and legal character. Okay? That right was granted in 1999 by Bill Clinton.
Hold that thought right at Bill Clinton there. Ralph Winterode, you're on a cell phone, and why do you have better cell service in Alaska than I do at my own house? Here in Central Texas.
I don't know. I'm on Verizon.
Man, dogs sleeping with cats, parrots on a wire in the middle of winter. Telling you, it's a weird world. We'll be right back.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say. About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendolite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendolite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down, and, you know, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit partdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
The reason why you feel like somebody's always watching you, you're not paranoid, you're just paying attention. All right, Al, pick up with the Bill Clinton thing.
Yes.
I never heard this before.
Okay, well, Bill Clinton in 1999 signed an executive order where he created federalism. And a lot of what we're seeing today came from that. There was initially some reluctance in Washington, but not near enough. So he went ahead and signed it, and now we are under what is called federalism. And in his executive order, and the whole thing is like 6 pages, that's where they bring in these grants, how the grants supersede what the legislators do. They changed the whole system without the public's awareness in 1999 by bringing in federalism. But he did one thing in that we can use on our behalf. Okay, in this executive order, he states, item D, the people of the states are free, subject only to restrictions in the Constitution itself or in constitutionally authorized acts of Congress to define the moral, political, and legal character of their lives. Becoming a U.S. citizen when it's a corporation is a political decision. We are free to define our character. Now,
all of this was in the executive order that Bill Clinton did?
Yes.
That description is in that executive order.
Absolutely, word for word.
So here is a past president admitting that there's two statuses out there, right?
Yeah, that we have to define our political character.
Okay, so when you try to define it and get your driver's license, you got some yokel standing there telling you, you can't do that because that just says everything on this form is a lie.
Okay, so what is happening is they are coercing us into defining our political character when we were granted the right to define our own political character. So it's real important, and Ralph has figured out how not to be a U.S. citizen. In my state, I looked at the requirements for applying for a license, and it states very clearly that you have to give your country of citizenship, your state of residence. It defines those. They are on the form.
Okay, state of residence and versus what country you're from. In this particular case, it's two different things because unless Kasich did his own executive order denying, you know, your constitutional rights, hey, you didn't go into that bureau to get a national driver's license. You went in there to ask for permission of the state of Ohio, that adhesion contract, to drive on the roads in Ohio.
Yes, and we were given the right, the state has given us the right, to use without prejudice. It's in their paperwork. And when you look up what it means, and this guy didn't know what it means, in Black's Law, you look it up, and it says, without abandonment of claim, right, privilege, and without implied admission of liability. So, in theory, he is violating his own statutes that determine what he can and cannot do by denying people the ability to note their signature without prejudice.
Okay. And Ralph, look, this guy was obviously coached. We caught them, 20-some years ago when people were filing paperwork on the state. And I remember what the Montana Freeman did with their liens. You know, they were putting liens on this and that and buying RVs and snowmobiles and whatever else. But the state Supreme Court judge went around to all of the counties of Ohio personally and gave them samples of paperwork they're not to process because once you accept it and you put your little cha-ching stamp on it, that's paperwork they got to deal with. This Supreme Court judge went to every county in Ohio telling these clerks of courts, okay, here's your official notice. This is what you're not supposed to accept or anything that looks like it. Just reject it. Don't file it because then we've got to deal with it.
And
go ahead, Ralph.
There's quite a few things that I would disagree with here. First of all, you're not going to beat these guys using the UCC 1-308. What that does is exit you out of the world of commerce. That's what it's doing. So my question, I've got a couple questions because I happen to know the answer to, so I'm not trying to impeach you, but what is your political status? Do you know what it is? What would you put down if somebody asked you?
Non-citizen of the United States.
Nope.
Yep.
I can prove it.
A non-citizen of the United States.
Oh.
No, he heard you. He just didn't believe his ears. No, go ahead, Ralph.
The status that you have, or I may ask you this, do you know what status you come in when you're naturalized?
Okay. Obviously, we don't have the answers to that, but hold on here a second. Hey, Ralph, hold on a second. I got to take a break. I know you're not next to a clock. Okay. You're in a car sitting alongside the highway, I would imagine, right?
I am.
Okay.
I am.
All right. Hold on one second here. Hope your battery holds out. Let's take this break. Al Whitney, Ralph Winterode on this Friday's edition of the National Intel Report. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Lord, take this badge off of me. I can't use it anymore. It's been too dark to see. Felt like knocking on heaven's door.
All right, we're back. All right, before the break, Ralph, you were winding up for something here. Where were you going?
Okay. First of all, when you're naturalized into this country, which has never changed, you're a citizen of the United States of America. That comes out of the Articles of Confederation. It's never changed. It's still, I have all the documents. By the way, I'm a dangerous guy because I get the documents and read it and prove this stuff. Now, if the country, if you're in Ohio, you're from the country of Ohio. Your only rights are as a citizen of Ohio. You have the Constitution of Ohio, which is known as the law of the land. The right to do the elective franchise or suffrage is only as a citizen of Ohio. The citizen of the United States started in 14 Stat 27 in 1866. And it to have the same rights as white citizens. It was strictly for the Negroes. That was done, and it was memorialized in the 14th Amendment. But what people don't realize, and I've got all the documents to prove all this by Congress, the 13th, 14th, 15th Amendments, citizen of the United States is a prohibitive amendment. They are only to be used against the states or against people that are working for the state, that are supposed to be public officers. There's no positive anything to that. Now, when you get back to the vehicles, I highly recommend you go down. Most people have never done this. It's right down at your dealer. There is documents called attorney in fact where you sign it away. There's another document which whoever has that is the true owner of the vehicle. When you sign that document, the new one is, that contract lasts forever. Okay? There is a way out of it. Now, if you go back to the Constitution of the United States, Article 3, arise under, if you've done any legal work, there are certain things that arise under, which mean they were established because of the Constitution. The things that do not arise under that are admiralty and commerce. Those predated, and they still exist today. They predated the Constitution. They had nothing to do with our inalienable rights. So the first thing is you can't beat these guys using commercial law. You can use it against them, but you're not going to beat them because you have no inalienable rights in commerce. You have no inalienable rights in admiralty law.
Okay.
And what this...
We've got to agree the Constitution was suspended in 1933 under a state of emergency that maintains today.
Absolutely not.
It was.
Document, please.
Well, I can
document,
send you...
Please.
I'll send you the Senate report.
Please.
Wait a minute. You both are talking over to each other. Now, Ralph, what did you just say?
Document. I require evidence. I don't take anything. I've got all this. What he's saying is not true. But go ahead. I'm going to disagree. I want to see the conclusive evidence because I've got the legislative. I know what happened in 1933.
I've got
the legislative.
You
have a document that said the Constitution of the United States was suspended in 1933.
I do. And I sent it to you once before, and I guess you didn't have a chance to read it. Senate report.
Okay, I'd love to see it.
Okay.
Senate report 93549. I can send it to you, or you can look it up. It was uncovered.
Guys, this does not work well when somebody is trying to finish a sentence and the other one cuts them off, because then you got to figure where you left off and what the hell you're talking about. Okay, all right. So one more time here, Al, you got a Senate document that said what?
Senate report 93549. It was done by the Church Committee in 1973. They thoroughly examined the national state of emergency. It's 666 pages. When you look at it, you look at the parties who were involved in that investigation, and you have to be impressed. Mickey, no. It was an amazing group of people. Constitutional lawyers were involved. Senators were involved. Employees for the government was involved. This is one massive report. It concluded that during the state of national emergency, the executive branch maintains authority. That's why Clinton was able to do an executive order so ridiculous in 1999, and no one stopped him. The war on terror is ongoing. Every year, the president... again, submits with the National Register a continuance of the national emergency every year. It gets recorded in the Federal Register.
Yeah, what was it this year, Al? It was, I know what it was. It was the OxyContin thing. That was a national emergency. And when I heard that, I thought, interesting that they put that verbiage in there. We've got a national emergency, which is another rider, I guess, on the war on drugs.
And they've always got their war on terror because they're creating all the terror,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. Now, Ralph, so I don't even know what question to ask you now.
I can pay input. First of all, I want to know, does that document actually state, end quotes, the Constitution of the United States was suspended, or is that your take on it? That's my first question.
I know
what happened.
It says that. It does. It says that for all practical purposes, the constitutional authority of Congress has been suspended during a national emergency. And then we have to support that.
That's not saying the Constitution of the United States. Let me talk for just a minute. March 3rd, 1933, Herbert Hoover, on his last day, repealed 1,006 statutes. He gutted our statutory law. March 4th, Franklin Delano Roosevelt started what's called the Headless Fourth Branch of Government, okay? And it's where it said executive orders and administrative orders are law. In 1935, in the Federal Register Act, it says federal agency means the President of the United States. Now, the executive orders you're talking about, they post in the Federal Register. That's how he supposedly rules over citizens of the United States. The agencies post regulations in the Federal Register as preliminary. Then they come out as final regs. The Congress looks at them. And I've got the congressional history that says nothing touches you and me. And the only way Congress can legislate is by and through an agency going through the Federal Register. It's called the Headless Fourth Branch of Government. Franklin Delano Roosevelt was losing control, and in 1937 he put out a 400-page research done on it, and it's called the Headless Fourth Branch of Government. And okay. Then by 1940, they did the what's called the Buck Act. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Buck Act.
Well, let's go back a minute and, here. Let's back up a minute, okay? During the state of national emergency, the president established this entire network under the auspice of managing the state of emergency. There was an Emergency Farming Act. There was an Emergency Banking Act. This came in because of this bankruptcy. He usurped Congress and was given the position of president, not Roosevelt, the position of president, was given the authority to manage national emergencies. All presidents have managed to get a new national emergency, every single one, when they come into office. Not one has missed that opportunity. Not one. It can be war.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a question. What evidence do you have that we went into what is called bankruptcy?
Of McFadden, all of McFadden's work. If you looked at Lewis McFadden, he's got all kinds of
records. I have the stuff. I have the congressional record all the way through the 1930. There is no place that states we were bankrupt.
Well, Jim Traficant also researched it, and he submitted a report that in the congressional record explaining that this is all about the bankruptcy.
I have the congressional record. I'm getting it on the QT. I have all of it. I've word searched it. It ain't there. I'm telling you.
Well, McFadden said right on the record that the country was bankrupt.
He did.
He explained how the gold was ransacked by the Federal Reserve.
Okay, give me the Federal Register, because I have it. I don't believe it. I'm sorry.
All right. We're heading into territory where, I got an email from or a text from Tom in Pennsylvania going, he says, I just love debate. Well, apparently you two have to talk here, and I want to see if I can get some conclusions here, because, Ralph, the bankruptcy, the March 9th, 1933 bankruptcy, that did a lot of things. Not good to this country. And this state of emergency has been in there ever since 33. I mean, how the hell did we become enemies of the state? How did they amend the 17th Amendment to make us enemies of the state?
I can tell you, I know how they did it. I have the documents. That's what I've been...
Okay.
Because we were the real party of interest up until 19... First of all, they had to get... You can't have a constitution unless you have parties to the constitution, right? Okay, there were two parties, the people and the legislatures of the several states. They got rid of us by being a citizen of the United States, okay? Because people have no clue what that means, and I do, and I've got the evidence to prove it. But anyway, and you're not a corporation, you're a fiction. By the 13th Amendment, or 17th Amendment in 1933, United States was a real party, United States, period. It's up to 1913, when the 17th come in and the legislatures got the transferred it over to the people and got rid of their standing. From 1913 to 1916, they changed from United States being the real party of interest in all federal courts, except two. It became United States of America, which is a sovereign body politic, which I've got in 113 cases I've found so far. United States of America is the only party, real party of interest that you will find in all of the United States district courts and all of the appellate courts. There's only two courts that do not use that. That is the Federal Court of Claims, which is an Article 1, but it operates under Article 3, and the only bona fide Article 3 court in existence, and the appellate is the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals. And I've got it all black and white. Absolutely. Senate, I've even tested it. I even got the stuff. I've tested this. That's the problem that we have.
The thing is, once we went into bankruptcy, the trustees took over control. Again, what happens when you go into bankruptcy? The trustees take control. All of a sudden, in comes the New Deal. All of a sudden, in comes the Social Security Act, where they want everybody to sign up for the Social Security. Roosevelt wanted that in 35. There were still lawyers in Washington that were fighting him in the Supreme Court saying, this isn't constitutional, you can't do this. He absolutely manipulated the court from behind the scenes in 1937. It was unconstitutional, but the Supreme Court allowed it in 1937, allowed the federal corporation to pass the Social Security Act.
Under what grounds, though? Was that supposed to be temporary? Because how can the Supreme Court say it's unconstitutional?
The Supreme Court has said, I got this from a lawyer who's been looking at this. He said the Supreme Court hasn't found anything unconstitutional since, I don't know, he had like 50 years. They were doing all kinds. They're still doing all kinds of things. They did it with Obamacare. They're being manipulated. They're handled. And all kinds of things are going on that are unconstitutional, and the Supreme Court claims that they've got
no,
the right.
Not. No, they're not, because you and I are looking in the mirror. We are signing up for what's called a benefit. This started with the Hayburns Act, and it goes all the way. The Social Security number is only used for two purposes. That's what it says. If you want a benefit from either the state or the federal, and the Supreme Court has ruled, if you signed up for a benefit.
Okay, but this is what...
Hold on, let him finish. Let him finish.
You have no rights, no remedies in any court. You're done, and I got it in black and white. So quit signing up to be a citizen of the United States for a benefit.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the key. It's your status.
Okay, now let me just make a clarification here. And Al,
sure.
Just hold your horses here a second.
Okay.
So we're told, Ralph, that, well, you can't go to work unless you obtain a Social Security number. You were first told, at least my original card, and this was when I was 16 years old, my first job scooping ice cream at Baskin and Robbins, that I had to get a Social Security card. I remember reading that card on the back, and it was in red letters, and it said, this is not intended for identification purposes. This was only your unique number for your retirement benefits or the Social Security scam.
Yep.
Now, what they have done is they have slathered this all over. If you want to get a passport, you've got to declare your citizenship. If you want to get a driver's license, state ID, you want to open up a bank account, I don't care what it is. They're demanding that you give them a Social Security number and or most of them are going now with driver license.
Yes. Here's the thing. I don't think you're aware of this. You've been looking pretty far back, but I've been looking more recent, like 1999, like 1933. They changed the rules with Social Security numbers in the late 80s so that each child is automatically assigned a Social Security number the minute they receive the certificate of live birth. It is no longer an optional. It is a done automatically. So how do you extricate yourself when it's done automatically? You're not volunteering. They assign it to you. My grandchildren, they have a number.
I know. I know people that have got their children out without Social Security numbers, so go ahead.
Well, again, they get it by the certificate of when the birth is registered with them, by the certificate of live birth, which the parents sign. They don't realize that that thing is going to be moved right into commerce, which it is. But it used to be that parents could avoid that, have babies at home. Now I've been told that even the midwives, if they want to keep their license, they have to get that information, that certificate of live birth from each parent.
That's not true.
Wait, Ralph. Mr. Wunderode, stop for 1 second. You said that's not true. I have heard this from so many people from so many different states. You're damn lucky. Hold on. Let me talk now, guys.
Okay.
All right, please. Now, I have been told by so many people, you're damn lucky if you get your kid out of a hospital without them getting shot up with the vaccinations. But I'm telling you right now, that child does not leave that hospital without an assigned Social Security number. And that is going on. To say that, well, that's not right or it doesn't happen or whatever, I know that it does.
I didn't say it's not happening. I said you can get them out without it.
Okay.
And I know people have done it.
Okay.
I got a friend right now that his daughter's got it out. And, of course, they got to be 18 and they went to go to work and they don't understand, so they went and got Social Security numbers so they could go to work. But, see, you don't understand the problem, which I found they busted the last link I've been looking for, is the Buck Act. The Buck Act of 1940. Do you know that the IRS, the income tax, because they couldn't get around the apportionment,
right?
They receded the authority back to the states to collect what's called income tax that's defined in 1940. Income tax is gross income, net income, or receipts. And how they get around this, this is really slick. I mean, these guys are good. In subtitle C, there are five types of taxes. It's called the election by the employer. So the Fed said, we can't get around this, so we got this citizen of the United States, and they're operating, it's called in a federal area. The external boundaries within the state is called the federal area. So what they do is, they offer you a W-4, which has a means, it says, I don't want to do this. There's a way out of it there. Or they got the employers to turn in a 1099. Because they got the states to do this for them, then we got to go back to the employer and take them off to the Federal Court of Claims because the federales cannot, what's called, recede the income tax to the states. And they've got it to business. And you hand people a W-4.
Well, wait a minute. Okay.
All
right. Let me ask you this question because I'm kind of getting lost here in the morass.
It is.
Okay. You're talking about rescinding and this, that, and the other. But anything that I see coming out of the IRS is coming out through that Treasury, and it's not coming from a state or a branch of the IRS.
That's right. That's
what's right?
They can't do it. They can't do it because they receded it to the states, and what they did is they got you and me to volunteer for it, and in Title 31, once they get the money, it actually says that these people, they gift the money to the United States. I'm not kidding you. I got it all black and white. I finally figured it out. I finally got on the Buck Act about a week and a half ago. They receded the authority to the employers in the states.
Okay, so So the onus is now on the employer, and he's mandated by federal statute or law or policy or whatever.
Nope, he's not.
Okay.
Nope.
All right, so fill that in.
He just thinks he's got to do it.
I'm sorry, who has to?
He just thinks he has to. He's scared of the IRS.
Okay.
You hand a W-4 to somebody.
Okay.
They can mark exempt on it. You don't have to even hand them a W-4. That's what I'm working on now because there is no authority for you to do the dirty work for the feds to hand them an IRS form.
But you know damn right well, Ralph, that's in the realm of the way things should be, but aren't really. Now, you know damn right well you know damn right well that employer is going to ask his CPA, he's going to ask his tax attorney, he's going to ask Joe Schmo across the street that's got the bar or the shoe shop, and he's going to ask him, hey, do I got to take Social Security numbers? And everybody's going to tell him yes, including the IRS.
That's why I have finally got this. This is, look, the whole scam, it's done in Title IV under the Buck Act. It's done in Title VII out of the Buck Act. They actually tie in the agriculture, the Federal Reserve notes, and the stocks of the market. That's into the Buck Act. And everything they say is money is taxable. And then they use Title 26 as a ruse, and they use Title 31. You have to understand how they put this scam together.
I guess you could call that. I guess you could call that passing the buck. And when was the Buck Act? Did you say 1940?
1940, and they made a positive law in 1947. Then in 1948, they got rid of the constitutional courts at the lower level and called them United States District Court because they had to be able to process the Buck Act for citizens of the United States. I mean, this is all lined out. I mean, this is brilliant.
Okay.
I'm telling you.
All right.
Okay.
Brilliant.
Let's go further then. You're still way back there. Let's go into the 50s and the 60s when they brought the Uniform Commercial Code into the states. In my state, I can tell you what it was. It was October 1953. 18,000 statutes were passed in 1 year when they brought in UCC. By the time we hit the mid-60s to late-60s, all the states had signed up for some element of Uniform Commercial Code. It is now throughout all the country. It's all their courts. We've heard it from the judges.
Commerce.
Jurisdiction. It's all commerce. It's all UCC. So if you're going to look for a remedy, you've got to look at UCC. You're right. We are volunteering. I totally agree with you, Ralph, 100%. We're volunteering because we don't understand the nature of the beast. We are still thinking we have rights. And when we go into those courtrooms, the judge is looking at the UCC status of the agreement that you might have signed, the driver's license agreement, or whatever other agreement you signed. Those courts, he's looking at the paperwork for your signature to see where it is you agreed to this. If he can find that signature, all he does is he rules against you because that's what he's looking at, that contract, that agreement. And did you volunteer? If you did, you're toast.
Okay, I know how to get out of it. That's one thing. I've already done what you're talking about. I went in and I challenged him. They said, how'd you get jurisdiction? He said, do you have a driver's license? Yep. He said, do you get the permanent fund? Yep. He said, do you vote? Yep. He said, I got jurisdiction. What did he just do? Why did he need those? Three things. Because every freaking damn one of them I signed up under the penalties of perjury as a citizen of the United States. And this goes back to the old Star Chamber out of England. They needed, it's called the trilemma.
All right. Everybody hold that thought. Ralph only, I know I'm holding you up there on the road, but hang on with me.
I'm just sitting in front of the bar here.
Okay.
I have a drink when I get through.
All right, hold on. Al, hold on. Tommy in Tennessee wants to chime in on this conversation, so we'll bring him up. Second hour, National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.